of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya may not misunderstand me, but the devotees might show me some anger because they are critical. And true to his expectation, some devotees of Lord Chaitanya even became angry also. So this healthy fear of criticism of God brothers is actually beneficial. It keeps one's actions in balance and check. So it's actually one's responsibility to be non-controversial, to do things that do not create any doubt or suspicion in the minds of other people. So if Gadadhar Pandit is hearing like this, other people might misunderstand him. Although he has pure intentions, not necessary that everyone sees the pure intentions. So he should also fear public criticism. That fear of public criticism is actually a bona fide fear. That a practitioner of devotional service might have. So, better he takes that care and do not allow others to comment upon him instead of lamenting after they comment. He blasphemed me. So, it's painful to hear blasphemy and criticism. So, as much as humanly possible, one should try to avoid giving opportunities to others to blaspheme or do anything like that. So now the anger and this pranaya rosha of devotees is not actually with any malice or a intent to just pull someone down, but it's out of genuine concern, right? It's not always with a bad intent, criticism of devotees. So, Pratyaha Vallabha Bhatta Aise Prabhu Sthane Udgrahadi Prayakare Acharyadisane. So, every day Vallabha Bhatta would come to the palace of Lord Chaitanya, to place of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and just unnecessarily get into some arguments with the devotees there, like Advaita Acharya, Sarupa Damodara Goswami and other people. He would just raise some discussion, get into some argument, just to prove that he also knows something. He is just basically seeking that acknowledgement, that he is also a scholar. So that's the main purpose of his argumentation.
So, till now, whatever happened, whatever we discussed, that I had few questions.
Yeah, please ask.
Yeah. So, first is the way Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has narrated this entire episode. So, it shows Vallabha Bhatta like as if like common person who is. So much running behind the name, fame, pratishtha, you know. Even normal people think so many times, behaving like this. But he has been given the post of acharya of one sampradaya, right? Which is authorized. So, and second thing which I heard was, their sampradaya, they don't accept this. This narration, they don't have same kind of narration about this incident.
Correct.
So if that sampradaya is authorized, then they should accept what is truth. There should not be changes in the history if both sampradayas are right. So how we should understand and
history,
how we should see Vallabha Bhatta?
Good. That's why I began the whole presentation saying that we are no one to offend Vallabhacharya. You remember? I opened the discussion with such a disclaimer. We certainly learn what not to do from his activities, the way Kaviraj Goswami is presenting here. And we cannot offend him, we cannot minimize his position, but certainly when Kaviraj Goswami, the scripture is describing in a certain manner, we learn what not to do without having any negative outlook towards him. Because there is, this happened at certain stage of his life. It's not that it is always, it has always been his attitude. Towards the end of the chapter, you will see, he surrenders to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya tells him, you should follow Sridhar Swami, and later he takes initiation from Gadadhar Pandit also. So all these are there. So we see the conclusion. And even within Bhagavatam also, when so many people's mistakes are described, we see it from the proper perspective, and we should not, we will not judge them. That much clarification, I mean, we have discussed this elaborately several times. So coming to their sampradaya and all that, I personally don't know much what is their literature or how they explain things. So all I can say is, we are following Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya. Our Acharya, Kaviraj Goswami, presented this pastime in a certain manner for our own purification. If we accept what Adilil, what Chaitanya Charitamrita presents in the Adilila, all the philosophy, if we accept the teachings of Lord Chaitanya as Kaviraj Goswami presented in Madhyalila, if we accept all the pastimes and the hankering of Lord Chaitanya to visit Vrindavan and all the other leelas of Lord Chaitanya as presented by Kaviraj Goswami as the most authoritative scripture, we accept this also. The way Kaviraj Goswami has presented, it's our trust in Kaviraj Goswami, it's our faith in Kaviraj Goswami, because he is our Acharya. And certainly if you want more information about this from a historical perspective, you can always consult someone who has bona fide information about the perspective of that sampradaya. Right? We respect them. And ultimately towards the end of the chapter, Vallabhatta is a Vaishnava. He is definitely a great Vaishnava, a great scholar. So devotion is there, scholarship is there. Along with these two, there was little pride also. Lord Chaitanya removed that pride and retained that devotion and scholarship. So with that, things will continue. Right? He continued with that, these two, devoid of pride. So we respect him. Right? We have Vallabhacharya Baitak also. We respect him. We offer dandavats to him. So all this we do. So now they don't accept this. I don't know. It's beyond my literature survey or understanding of their literature. I didn't read what, how this pastime is presented according to their perspective, so I can't comment on that. But we believe what Kaviraj Goswami has written. Certainly, we can't take these verses of Kaviraj Goswami and then offend Vallabhacharya. That is very clear. So we learn what not to do and we respect him. Because at the end, he is ultimately a Vaishnava. Everyone is afflicted by some kind of anartha or some unwanted feeling, certain attitude problems at certain stage of one's devotional life. So that we see. Brahmaji was running behind Vag, Shiva was running behind Mohini Murthy, Pururva was attracted to Urvasi unduly, and Yayati got afflicted by lust and even asked youth from his own sons. So like that we see even Vyasadeva, he wrote so many Puranas, but there is not sufficient glorification of Krishna there. So Narada Muni gave him a feedback, chastisement. And later Vyasadeva wrote Bhagavatam with full glorification of Krishna. So Bhagavatam without any hesitation presents the mistakes of great personalities also, even Chaitanya Charitamrita is also presenting. So historical facts are presented in a certain fashion. So that is meant for our own purification, and when we learn what not to do from the mistakes, and we don't offend the personalities involved. Simple. And from their perspective, which I don't know. Makes sense.
In the material circles and the spiritual circles, when a person reaches that position of authority, he is not like failures are downplayed, so that they maintain the reverence to that position and the person. So it might be like Vallabhacharya might be the initial days, he might be like, when you see like students also, in the initial days they are too much about to show off, but later on they transform and their maturity level grows like that. So it can be considered like that. I mean, that's my...
Yeah, at thinking. One stage, correct. You're right. Vallabhacharya, this is not his constant sthayi bhav. At one stage in his life, he's feeling like that. So that mentality got rectified also. That also I don't know. Just only one verse, half verse comes that he is initiated by Vallabhacharya, Gadadhar Pandit. In this book only that much information is given. I didn't read any other books. Maybe we need to do some research on that. He was initially worshipping Bal Gopal in the mood of... he was considering Krishna, worshipable Krishna in the form of a child. But after getting inspiration from Gadadhar Pandit, he started worshipping young Krishna, Kishore Gopal, from Bal Gopal to Kishore Gopal. Next, Ei kichu kare bhatta siddhanta sthapan, sunitei acharya taha karena khandan. So he just presents some philosophy, some conclusion, and Advaita Acharya, he'll just cut down. He'll smash his philosophical point. So like that, he was being defeated regularly. Whenever Vallabhatta entered the society of devotees headed by Advaita Acharya, he was like a duck in a society of white swans. So one day, what happened? Ekadina Bhatta Puchila Acharyare Jiva Prakriti Patikari Mana Ye Krishnare Pativrata Haya Patira Namana Hilaya Tomar Krishna Namalaha Kona Dharma Haya. So one day Vallabhacharya raised another argument. He told Advaita Acharya, every living entity is Prakriti, not Purusha. So Jiva is Prakriti, not Purusha. And Krishna is the Supreme Purusha. So thus, the living entity is like a wife and Krishna is like the husband. So a chaste wife does not call the husband with name. So how do you chant the holy names? Your whole chanting of the holy names of Krishna itself is questionable. Because it's like wife taking the name of a husband. So he raised this argument. Then Advaita Acharya said, so this is called speculation and innovation. In the name of innovation, one will speculate and then get into deviation. It will begin with innovation, it will slowly get into speculation, then it will become deviation. Right? Kuch alag perspective present karengi. Jo hai wo bola na. Why you have to speculate so much? Even if, yeah, you need to introspect, you need to contemplate on the scriptures, no doubt about it. But in line with Acharya's teachings. Not away from Acharya's teachings. Tangent, you just be on the circumference, on the circle only. Just don't put a tangent and go somewhere else. 105. So Advaita Acharya said, Aja tomara dharma murtiman, ihare puchara iha karibena, ihara saman. You are seeing dharma murtiman in front of you. Here is Lord Chaitanya, who is the personification of all religious principles. You are speaking about Pativrata Dharma, he is the knower of all dharmas. Ask him only. He will give you right answer. Suni Prabhu kahena tumi najana dharma marma Swami agna pale yayi Pativrata Dharma Patira agna nirantara tarana malaitem Patira agna Pativrata napare langhitem. So Mahaprabhu said, you don't know dharma. We are speaking about Pativrata Dharma. You don't know Dharma Marma. You don't know the confidential aspect of religious principles. A Pativrata, a chaste wife's first duty is to follow the instruction of husband. Krishna says, chant my holy names, and if the devotees are chanting, what is your problem? Right? So, first she has to follow the instructions of husband. So, Krishna himself is saying that you should chant my holy name. Atayeva namalaya namera falapai. Namera phale Krishna pade prema upajai. So, following this religious principle, a pure devotee of Lord Krishna always chants the holy name of Krishna. As a result, he gets the fruit of ecstatic love for Krishna. So, that is the conclusion that Lord Chaitanya gave. So, then Vallabhacharya was again defeated. So, here we see Vallabhacharya's desperation to establish his points. Let me try this way. So it's like he just wanted to establish his point, although he doesn't have much substance. If he himself thinks about it, he has the necessary intelligence. If he himself thinks about it also, he will come to a conclusion that what I'm trying to present is not substantial. But still, he's just trying out different ways to really establish himself. So sometimes, even if one is not sure or not convinced about what he does or what he says, still, because of being obsessed with the feeling that I need to be accepted by people, one may try to present things. So this emotional or sentimental feelings sometimes take over, they take precedence over the rational way of looking at things. Although one may have the necessary intelligence to analyze things properly, still, because he is carried away by this obsession of proving oneself, he cannot actually analyze. So that will block one's way forward and unnecessarily create some negativity. So one more point is mentioned. Nitya amara yai sabhaya haya kakshapata. So Haridas Vallabhatta went back home and started contemplating. He says, ekadina upare yadi haya morabhatam tabe sukha haya aras sabalajjahyai svavachana sthapite ami ki kari upai. He is not considering what Lord Chaitanya said, is it true or not? My point is not correct, right? Lord Chaitanya established the right thing. He is not considering what is right and what is wrong. Someone who is genuine, he will do things or consider things according to the merit of the statements being made. Yes, what Lord Chaitanya says is correct, right? A wife is supposed to follow the husband. Correct. What he said is correct. I was thinking in a wrong manner. I was wrong actually. He would have concluded that way. But see his contemplation. Nitya amara yai sabhaya haya kakshapata. Every day, I am just getting defeated in this assembly. Eka dina upara yadi haya manabhata. So one day, if I can establish my point, if I become victorious in certain argument, that will be the greatest source of my happiness. He is just obsessed with the need to establish his point. That's all. Nothing else. Whether my point is correct or not, it doesn't matter. I should have an upper hand. I should be victorious in certain argument. At least once if it happens, I'll be happy. So that's the thing. Tabe sukhaya. I'll be happy because of that. Ara sabal lajjayaya. And all my shame will go away. Sva vachana sthapite ami ki kari upaya. How can I do how can I establish my own statements? Sthapit, kaisa karum? He says, aradina asi vasila prabhura namaskari sabhati kahena kichu mane garva kari. So one more, another day, Again he went to Lord Chaitanya and he started speaking to him with some pride, great pride. Bhagavate Swamira Vyakhyana Kariyachi Khandan Laitena Paritara Vyakhyana Vachan. He says very proudly, in the commentary of Sridhar Swami on Srimad Bhagavatam, I cannot accept his explanations. Why? He mentions in the next verse. Sei vyakhya karena yahan yei pade ani eka vakyata nahi tate swami nahi mani. Whatever Sridhar Swami reads, he explains according to the circumstances. So, he is inconsistent in his explanations, so I can't accept him as an authority. So he just tried another trick. Okay, I'm just presenting some philosophical things, I'm presenting different perspectives of Krishna's name or something else, and I'm being defeated. Let me just underestimate or just present the faults in some other person, at least in that way, I'll be better. Right? So now you want to prove yourself as better than others. So say you can climb 100 steps in say 10 minutes. Now you are unable to climb 100 steps in 10 minutes, although it is the general thing. You are taking 15 minutes or 20 minutes. So now you are always getting defeated. Everybody is climbing in 10 minutes or 9 minutes or 8 minutes, something like that. But now you are unable to do it. So now, to feel a sense of pleasure, you want to compare yourself with someone who is taking half an hour to climb those many steps. See, I am better than him. At least I am doing it in 20 minutes and this fellow is taking 30 minutes. At least I am better than him. So that sense of pleasure one needs. So if you can't be the best, at least I want to be better than few people. So he tried to present his own perspectives. Later he just got into comparing himself with someone else and trying to prove one's superiority over the other person. So he is attacking on Sridhar Swami directly. So basically he is trying to prove himself. So seeking happiness in establishing one's false pride or ego could be actually diverted to seeking happiness in Krishna's glories. Morning also we briefly discussed about this. So ultimately, apart from Krishna and his glories, there is nothing that can bring happiness to the soul. Only when the soul is distracted from seeking pleasure in Krishna's service and Krishna's glorification, that conditioned soul seeks pleasure in 100 other things. Whether someone accepts me or not, what difference does it make to me? It doesn't make any difference. If one is absorbed in Krishna's service and Krishna's glorification. But if there is no focus on Krishna's glorification, one is diverted by this unnecessary thoughts or unnecessary desires to prove oneself. So Radhanand Maharaj says, when we have inner fulfillment, we don't have to strive to prove ourselves superior or great. Inner fulfillment. And that inner fulfillment actually comes by genuine hearing and chanting. If we take pleasure in chanting the holy names or chanting the glories of Krishna, if we take pleasure in hearing Krishna being glorified, that's called fulfillment. And that when that fulfillment is actually there, if you are experiencing that fulfillment, you don't have to prove yourself. You don't run behind the pleasure of establishing your superiority or supremacy over other people. Right? So if you don't envy but appreciate a devotee for what he is, then Krishna will also provide us the same opportunity. For example, gopis appreciated Yashoda Mai. They were not envious, are we? Yashoda's son is Krishna. Krishna is not our son. Actually, they had a lot of respect and appreciation and love and affection for Yashoda Mai because she is the mother of Krishna. So, because they had genuine appreciation and they don't have envy towards Krishna, Krishna gave them also the opportunity to become the mothers, at least for 1 year. And even beyond that year also, is constantly receiving vatsalya affection from all these other mothers also in Vrindavan. Right? All these elderly gopis are considering Krishna's son, and Krishna is behaving like son only. And for that 1 year, he directly became a son in their son's forms and experienced vatsalya rasa directly from them. So when we envy another devotee who has certain privilege or position, we may not get it. We will only burn with that envy, and that envy will just cause problem to us. But if we appreciate others' good fortune, we may also get that fortune. Right? We will also get that fortune if we have genuine appreciation for others' fortune. So that's how spiritual circles work. Envy is there because of insecurity. Why I am not considered great or glorious? So he wants the pleasure of doing that. Whether I'm what, how people consider me, that's secondary. People consider Krishna great. That's wonderful. So now see, in the Vedic society, there is actually no competition between husband and wife. Wife does all the cooking. And the guests, when they come, they thank the host, thank the husband. And just because the guests are glorifying the husband for the hospitality and acknowledging their good experience at their home, wife is automatically happy, because wife never considers herself separate from the husband. When the husband is glorified, she is automatically glorified, of course. There is no need of separate glorification or separate appreciation or acknowledgement for her. She doesn't even come out also. In the cultured societies, the wife doesn't come out of the kitchen to serve the friends of the husband. Husband serves. Some other people will serve. So wife is just inside only, because the culture is there. So when the depreciation goes to the husband, wife will automatically become satisfied. Right? So similarly, when Guru is glorified, disciple is automatically satisfied. When Krishna is served and Krishna is glorified, devotees are automatically satisfied. There is no separate glorification or separate acknowledgement or separate appreciation for the devotee apart from glorification of Guru and Krishna. By glorifying them, one is automatically glorified. When we are there to glorify, we are not there to glorify ourselves, we are there to glorify Krishna and Guru. So if one fails to prove oneself great, he tries to pull down others. Oh, I can't distribute so many books, so let me just pull down other book distributors. Let me do something by hiding their slippers or by hiding their books or by doing something else. Let me do something to reduce their scores so that automatically my scores will be better. Because I can't reach their level, so let them come to my level or below my level. That's what is the next attempt of an insecure person. So ...115... Lord Chaitanya responds, Prabhu hasi kahe swami namane yai jana, Veshya bhitare tare kariye ganana. If one does not accept the glories of Sridhar Swami, I consider him a prostitute. That's all. Mahaprabhu just made one statement. One who does not accept Swami, here Swami's husband, as an authority, I consider him prostitute. Thus. And he left. After saying this, Mahaprabhu became very grave, and all the devotees presented were satisfied with this kind of conclusion. Because someone is coming and then insulting Sridhar Swami. He is saying Sridhar Swami is not an authority. That's like a very offensive statement. And Lord Chaitanya says, if you don't consider Sridhar Swami, you are a prostitute. And he left. So people were satisfied with this. Because a devotee, when he is offended, an exalted devotee is offended, other devotees cannot tolerate it. So when that offense is counteracted or counter-attacked, it is attacked and the offender is spoken the right understanding, then people will be happy, satisfied. Devotees are satisfied hearing this statement. So Mahaprabhu descended as an incarnation for the benefit of the world, thus he knew the mind of Vallabhatta very well. Jagatera hitalagi gaura avatar anantera abhimana janena tahar. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very well understands the attitude of Vallabhatta, because he actually descended to cause welfare to everyone. Nana avajnane bhatte shodhena bhagyavan shodhena bhagavan krishnayai che khandilena indrera abhiman. So by various hints and refutations Mahaprabhu corrected Vallabhatta, just like Krishna has cut down the pride of Indra. So Indra was also proud of his material opulence. Krishna did many things. Krishna stopped his Indra puja. When he had sent the rain, Krishna lifted Govardhan hill and nullified the rain. So not a blade of grass moved when the rain was coming on Govardhan. So actually Krishna had arranged his chakra, Sudarshan chakra, to hover around above Govardhan so that nothing comes on Govardhan. Everything was being absorbed by Sudarshan chakra. So like that Govardhan is protected and Indra is humiliated thoroughly. So Krishna wants us to be free from false pride, and he endeavors to rectify the devotee's mentality if he is afflicted with false pride. So all we need to do is to cooperate with Krishna in his attempts to reduce our false pride. So he has to endeavor more if we protest more. He gives some hints. You are getting proud? Relax. He gives a certain hint. So if you don't respond to that hint, he will become little more apparent, little more gross in correcting us. If you don't respond to that also, you'll become more. Earlier he said, I cannot hear, I don't understand Bhagavatam, meaning of Bhagavatam. Like that he humbled. But still he tried to prove himself. Then he's getting into so many arguments with devotees. Then, second time Lord Chaitanya said, you're giving this explanation of the holy name? And he just intelligently cut down his argument that the duty of a chaste wife is actually to follow the husband. So the first time he said, I am not qualified to hear your explanations. So he could have understood at that point. Second time he said, what you are considering is wrong. Very plainly he just defeated him. Third time he said, you are like a prostitute. It's like more gross chastisement. So now Vallabhatta started thinking. He started introspecting. So you see this. Agna jiva nijahite ahitakarimani garvachorna haile pache udghade nayanim. Read the translation.
An ignorant living being does not recognize his actual profit. Because of the ignorance and material pride, he sometimes considers profit a loss. But when his pride is cut down, he can actually see his true benefit.
Mm. So, Vallabhatta was chastised by the Lord, by Lord Chaitanya, just like Krishna chastised Indra. So an ignorant person doesn't perceive this chastisement as that which is meant for one's own purification, one's own welfare. When a spiritual master or the Supreme Lord with a well-wishing heart is rectifying the proud mentality of a person, it is for his welfare. So an ignorant person does not actually understand this till he comes to senses. So returning home that night, Vallabhatta thought,
previously at Prayaga, Lord Chaitanya was very kind to me. So he started introspecting, really now. So after Lord Chaitanya very grossly chastised him, I consider such a person a prostitute. So Mahaprabhu, Vallabha Bhatta started thinking very seriously. So he thought, he accepted my invitation with his other devotees and he was kind to me. Why has he now changed so much at Jagannath Puri? Being very proud of my learning, I am thinking, let me become victorious. But Mahaprabhu, however, is trying to purify me by nullifying this false pride. For a characteristic of the Supreme Lord is that he acts for everyone's welfare. Ami jiti, yei garva shunya hauka iharchita ishvara swabhava karena sabhakara hita. So he actually started understanding Lord Chaitanya's purpose behind this kind of neglect or indifference or counteractions. Apana janite ami kari abhiman. Segarva khandite mora karena apaman. Apana janite ami kari abhiman. I am so proud. I am extremely proud of my learning. Sei garva khandite, to cut down my pride, Lord Chaitanya is doing apman. He is insulting me. So if one carefully introspects, he can understand that spiritual master's chastisement is meant for one's own improvement, disciple's improvement. So even if the person who is insulting us does not have such a great intent, still, if we have proper intention, proper attitude, we can see why this chastisement is coming. Maybe I need this for my purification. Still one can improve. If one is looking forward for opportunities to improve oneself, he can improve in any circumstance. If one is so obsessed to stick to one's own conditioned nature or one's own degraded attitude, even if the Supreme Lord tries to purify him also, he doesn't respond to such kind of attempts or endeavors for purification. So till now he was not responding. Now he came back to senses. Finally. 124. Amara hita karena iho amimani dukha krishnera upare kaila yena indra mahamurkha. So he is actually acting for my benefit, although I interpret these actions as insults. This is exactly like the incident in which Krishna cut down the pride of Indra. Eta chinti pratyasi prabhure charane dainyakari stuti kari laila sharane. So far he was embracing his false ego. Now he kept aside that false ego. And being out of the embrace of that false ego, he started thinking. So, if we think, while embracing our false ego, while associating with our false ego, our thinking is always contaminated. If we keep aside false ego, so you just tell your false ego, just stay for some time. I'll come back to you in few minutes. So just give me some time. Then keeping aside that false ego, you start thinking. Then things will be revealed to you. Wow. Then you just check out that false ego. Get lost. Toda dur raho. Like that you just check him out only completely. Like that. So false ego, because of the presence of false ego, our thinking gets contaminated. Our introspection gets affected. Because mind is innocent. Mind is born out of mode of goodness. And mind is very innocent. The duty of a mind is just to serve the false ego and maintain the false ego. Mind's duty is what? Thinking, feeling and willing. So the thinking, feeling and willing of the mind are aligned with the false ego. If the false ego, because of false ego, if one is identifying oneself as master, controller, proprietor, enjoyer, mind starts thinking, feeling and willing in those terms only. But if one has the true ego of identifying oneself as servant of Krishna, mind starts thinking, feeling and willing in those terms. So the direction of thinking, feeling and willing
is set by false ego and the mind is just executing. Intelligence is just doing the needful. So, and it's very difficult to understand the false ego. Because false ego is more subtler than intelligence and we try to understand things with intelligence. So, someone whose intelligence is above our false ego, he can understand. So, Lord Chaitanya's intelligence is above everyone's false ego and certainly Vallabhbhatta's false ego. He could detect the problem with his attitude. So, he is rectified from that mentality. So, next. Eta chinti. Next, thinking in this way, Vallabhbhatta approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very humbly and he surrendered to his lotus feet and started speaking. Ami agna jiva agno chita karma kailun. Tomar age murkha ami panditya prakshailun. Read.
Vallabhbhatta admitted, I am a great fool and indeed I have acted like a fool by trying to demonstrate my learning to you.
So he admitted, actually I was trying to prove myself in front of you. I wanted to exhibit my learning in front of you. I am a fool. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have showed mercy upon me in a way just befitting your position by instructing me to cut down my false pride. So you did this. So I am an ignorant fool, for I interpret as an insult what is meant for my benefit. So this is meant for my benefit and I am interpreting it as an insult. So, and I am like Indra. He agreed. My dear Lord, you have cured the blindness of my false pride by smearing my eyes with the ointment of your mercy. Tomara kripa agnate yabhi garva andhya gela. The blindness of false pride has been vanquished by your kripa. Tumi eta kripa kaila ebe gnata haila. So what is this kripa? Lord Chaitanya showed his kripa on Vallabhbhatta by first neglecting him. Second, by correcting him. Third, by chastising him. By criticizing him. You are like a prostitute. So kripa need not come as a gentle breeze. As a cool breeze, you are just standing outside and the nice wind is just blowing, giving you such cool feeling to your skin. Kripa need not come like that. It can come like a hot wind. You go to kitchen. So our Rasik Prabhu and Shyampara Prabhu, they cook around 11 o'clock in the morning. Go inside the kitchen. They are right in front of the gas cylinder. It's so hot outside, it's so more hotter inside. So sometimes kripa can come in that form also. It can be more intense also. So we can't expect kripa in certain flavor. So my dear Lord, I have committed offenses. Please excuse me. I seek your shelter. Please be merciful unto me by placing your lotus feet on my head. Prabhu kahe tumi pandita mahabhagavat. You are a Pandit, scholar, Mahabhagavat, you are a great devotee also. Wherever these two qualities are there, it's not proper for a Garva Parvata, a mountain of false pride, to stay there. You are Pandit, wonderful. Mahabhagavat, excellent. But Garva Parvata is also there along with these two qualities. Your devotion and scholarship are accompanied with pride. So I don't want this third quality. So I wanted to remove it. First two only I am satisfied. Last one I am not excited. Sridhara Swami Nindi Nija Tika Karam. Sridhara Swami Nahi Mana Yeta Garva Dharam. You wrote your own Tika by rejecting Sridhara Swami's Tika. What do you think about yourself? That's a great offense and that you have done out of great pride. Sridhara Swami Prasade Bhagavata Jani. Jagadguru Sridhara Swami Guru Karimani. Sridhara Swami is Jagadguru. I consider him Guru. Only by his mercy, by his commentary, we can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And all the other commentators of Bhagavatam actually followed the footsteps of Sridhar Swami. And you are the person who is just deviating from it, finding, writing something else, and very boldly declaring to me that his commentary is not authoritative, it's not proper. How dare? So, we should not be doing that. Sridhara upare garvaye kichu likhibe. अर्थव्यस्त लिखन से लोके नमानीबे. Whatever you might write due to your false pride, trying to surpass Sridhar Swami would carry a contrary purport. So, if we write something in alignment with the teachings or writings of Acharyas, our writing is considered bona fide and worthwhile, worth reading. If it is totally deviating from what our previous Acharyas explained, that is, in first place it is offensive, second it is very misdirecting. Arthavyasta. It will have contrary purport. So therefore, no one should pay attention to it. Who will hear your commentary if you write something against the writings of Acharyas? The parampara system does not allow one to deviate from the commentaries of previous Acharyas. The false pride that makes one think that he can write better than the previous Acharyas will make one's comments faulty. The very thought that I can do better than the previous Acharya, that itself makes our presentation useless, worthless, faulty, offensive, misguiding. Because of false pride, every scholar and philosopher wants to exhibit his learning by interpreting Shastras. They want to use all creativity on the Shastra only. The faithful presentation is gone in the background and creative presentation comes in the foreground. So, especially Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in his own way. This system of commenting in one's own way is fully condemned by Mahaprabhu. Commentaries written according to one's own philosophical way are never accepted. No one will appreciate such commentaries on the revealed scriptures. Prabhupada is repeating. One who comments on Bhagavatam following in the footsteps of Sridhar Swami will be honored and accepted by everyone. You are accepted to the extent you accept your previous Acharyas. You are rejected to the extent you are disconnected from the previous Acharyas. Simple. Put forth your explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam following the footsteps of Sridhar Swami. Give up your false pride. Worship the Supreme Lord Krishna. Aparadha chadikara Krishna Sankirtan. Achirat pabetabe Krishna Racharan. Abandon your offenses. Chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Chant the holy names of Krishna. Very soon you can attain Krishna's shelter. So this is how Lord Chaitanya concluded his correction that he wanted to give over Vallabha Bhatta. So now you see, Krishna doesn't leave any living entity in a hopeless situation. Every soul is valuable for Krishna. To correct one person, Lord Chaitanya had spent a lot of energy to bring him to this consciousness. This whole chapter is dedicated for that. So everybody is very valuable to Krishna, especially one who comes into the process of devotional service, he is more valuable. If he practices for some time, and if he also guides other people like Vallabha Bhatta, he is in a nice authoritative position, he is even more valuable for Krishna. So any deviation in his attitude will create havoc, and Krishna just tries to rectify that. Right? So this whole chapter is dedicated to Lord Chaitanya's attempts to bring one devotee to proper consciousness, proper attitude. So in the previous chapter we have seen Swarup Damodar Goswami chastised this Bengali poet and encouraged him at the end. You should actually, what you have done is wrong, that is clear. But that doesn't mean we reject you. Please come in. Associate with devotees. Study Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. And you will get the right understanding. Then you can write. So Swarup Damodar Goswami did not discourage that Bengali poet to write. And Lord Chaitanya also is not discouraging Vallabh Bhatta to write. He only said, follow Sridhar Swami. You write, but following Sridhar Swami. So he has the potential to preach. When a devotee has the potential to glorify Krishna and preach the glories of Krishna, so that potential has to be utilized in Krishna's service, and Krishna actually gives them opportunity to use that potential. But if they are engaging it in a immature way or improper way, the Lord corrects, or his devotees, his representatives correct. So once the correction is given, and if the person accepts their correction, continue writing. Continue engaging your skills and talents and inclinations in Krishna's service. But do it in a proper way. That's the whole message. If someone has done a mistake, check him out. That's not the intention. That's not the proper training model. That's not what Lord Chaitanya recommends. Give him sufficient inputs so that he gets the right understanding, and then accept him again. If he has that right attitude to accept that correction. If he's arrogant and if he still says, no, I'm correct only, you are unnecessarily finding fault with me, then things will become hopeless. But if the other person is humble enough to accept the chastisement and rectify oneself, rectify one's mentality, that's wonderful. Again, one can admit him. So Vallabh Bhatta says, he becomes very happy. He says, Bhatta kahe yadi more haila prasanna. Ekadina punam mora mana nimantrana. Read.
Vallabh Bhatta Acharya requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you are actually pleased with me, please accept my invitation once again.
So, looks like you are pleased with me. But if you are actually pleased with me, you should come to my house and accept my invitation. So, although one receives some encouragement, still he wanted a reassurance. Please, come. Everything is forgotten, right? I am completely forgiven, right? So you don't have any more negative impression on me, right? So I'm actually rectified. Like a reassurance is given. So for that reassurance, he invited the Lord. Next verse. So Mahaprabhu, who had descended to deliver the entire universe, accepted the invitation just to give him happiness. Jagatera hita hauka ei prabhuraman dandakari kare tara hridaya shodhan. So Mahaprabhu is always eager to see everyone in the material world happy. So sometimes he chastises and some just to purify the heart of the devotees. So when Vallabh Bhatta invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his associates, the Lord was very pleased with him. So now onwards, for the rest of the chapter, Kaviraj Goswami describes the moods of various devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Mainly two devotees, Jagadananda Pandit and Gadadhar Pandit. So now one more thing is left. Vallabh Bhatta is purified. That is clear. His episode is like in climax. But what happened to Gadadhar Pandit? Gadadhar Pandit heard Bhagavatam from Vallabh Bhatta. When Lord Chaitanya approved, Lord Chaitanya rejected Vallabh Bhatta. And some of Lord Chaitanya's associates also chastised him. Became angry with him. So what is Lord Chaitanya's perspective towards Gadadhar Pandit? How did that episode conclude? Is he maintaining still that displeasure or anger towards Gadadhar Pandit? Apparently there was no interaction between Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit in this episode, in this phase, till now. So did Lord Chaitanya forgive Gadadhar Pandit? That's the next point. So Jagadananda Pandit, his love for Lord Chaitanya is very deep, definitely. Jagadananda Panditera Shuddha Gadha Bhava Satyabhama Praya Prema Vamyasvabhava. So Jagadananda Pandit's love for Lord Chaitanya is like Satyabhama's love for Lord Krishna. Satyabhama is little in a complaint mode. Vamyasvabhava. Vamyasvabhava means quarrelsome nature. So she always has this mood of provoking loving quarrels with Krishna. Same thing with Jagadananda Pandit also. He also gets into some quarrel. he gets some very nice oil, very fragrant and costly oil, and tells Lord Chaitanya, apply it. I am sannyasi, no, I shall apply it. And if you don't apply, he will fast. That will come in the later chapters. Until I think 12th chapter somewhere it comes, that he pushes Lord Chaitanya to eat so much. I am a sannyasi, how can I eat so much? No, you should eat. He will, before he completes his half of the item that is served, he'll just put more. And if Lord Chaitanya doesn't eat, Jagadanand Pandit will go inside the room, lock himself and fast for 3 days. And Lord Chaitanya had to pacify him, please, please, come and eat. I will eat. Whatever you cook, I will eat. And in that full anger, Jagadanand Pandit, when he's there, so he comes, he agrees that, okay, Lord Chaitanya, you want to... Lord Chaitanya goes to pacify Jagadanand Pandit and tells that, I am hungry, please feed me. So Jagadanand Pandit gets ecstasy. Ah, you are hungry? You will eat what I cook? Again, he will cook a big feast and feed Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya now is fearfully eating. Whatever he puts, he will eat. And he will say, please stop. No, you should eat more. I'll eat. So like that, Lord Chaitanya eats the food of 5-6 people or 10 people. Just out of fear of Jagadanand Pandit. So like that, they have such very nice intimate exchanges. Now you see this. After reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, you should really get your conviction on Krishna Leela, Krishna's dealings with the gopis should become deeper. You know how? Krishna is dancing with the gopis who are someone else's wives in the middle of the night. The gopis are in female bodies, Krishna is in a male body. We said that there is no lust there. There is no material lust at all. It is purely love, spiritual, on a spiritual platform. Now come to Chaitanya Leela. The same gopis of the Lord, gopis of Krishna, are consorts of Krishna. They took male forms in Chaitanya Leela and similar exchanges are going on. So when there is some, what is that called, loving quarrel between Satyabhama and Krishna, people may look at it, aray, henpecked husband, he is so attached to the wives, he is just pressing the feet of his wife. So like that people may pass comments. Same thing is happening between Lord Chaitanya and Jagadanand Pandit. What does it mean? It means, what is happening between Krishna and Satyabhama, or Krishna and the gopis, Krishna and Rukmini, or Krishna and all his consorts, is on a purely spiritual platform. Even if they assume male bodies, similar exchanges are going on. So both are spiritual exchanges. So it's not dependent on body. So one may have very intimate, loving quarrels or exchanges with wife. He may not have similar quarrels with friends. But even with friends also, he's having the same thing means, so there is no material lust there. So same thing is happening in both Leelas. So Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan and Krishna's Rasa Leela, both are compared. So what is Sankirtan? Mahaprabhu, in Mahaprabhu Sankirtan, so girls don't dance, women don't dance. They may dance in different circles, we don't know that. But Lord Chaitanya is always accompanied by so many male associates. You see, any painting you see. And Krishna is accompanied with all females. Whether it is male body or female body, ultimately they are devotees of Krishna. Right? It's a pure spiritual exchange. So Krishna being Rasaraj, he manifested in flavor. So that is manifested in Lord Chaitanya's Leela also to explain the purity of that spiritual exchange. There is no material tinges or material lust there. Gadadhar Pandit, he is Radharani or he is Rukmini. And Ramanand Rai, he is Vishakha Devi. Some say he is Lalita also, some say he is Arjuna also, different references. But basically, he is also a consort of Lord Krishna or a gopi in the Leela of Krishna who manifested in a male body. And same exchanges are going on between them. So, like that, Sarupa Damodar Goswami.
why do they consider Ravananda as Arjuna? Vishakha means there is possibility that he knows a lot of intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna.
So Lord Chaitanya himself said that Bhavanandra is like Pandu Maharaj and his five sons are like Pandavas. Lord Chaitanya himself said that.
And like just from that perspective, what one Pandu Maharaj and five sons, in that perspective, he becomes Arjuna.
There could be more to it, which I don't know. So, for this purpose, Lord Chaitanya sometimes... someone has something else? He's asking. So, Gadadhar Pandit's pure love for Lord Chaitanya is like that of Rukmini Devi. So, Satyabhama is having a quarrelsome nature. That is called Vamya Swabhava. And Rukmini has Dakshina Swabhava. Very submissive nature. So, Jagadananda Pandit has that Vamya Swabhava. And Gadadhar Pandit has this Dakshina Swabhava, submissive nature. So, sometimes Krishna also jokes with Rukmini Devi to invoke her anger. Just like in the 10th canto, 60th chapter, Krishna joked with Rukmini Devi. He said, Rukmini, why did you marry me? I am a cowherd boy. I just ran from enemies and took shelter of this ocean. I am like this, I am like that. Krishna is presenting his apparent faults and saying, Shishupal is very good for you. He is a very good match for you. And he is glorifying Shishupal and other people. You could have actually married them. And even after Krishna had children and grandchildren, still he says, you can still consider Shishupal. So like that he was just joking with Rukmini, and Rukmini thought it serious and then she fainted. And after she got up, she started chastising Krishna. Chastising, not chastisement, counter-arguing with Krishna. Whatever arguments that Krishna presented, Rukmini just smashes them very systematically. So just like Krishna had this desire to see this loving anger of Rukmini Devi, similarly Lord Chaitanya also has this mood of seeing loving anger of Gadadhar Pandit. No man can have same exchanges that he generally has with a woman. He can't have similar exchanges with another man. It's really not possible. A man is having certain exchanges with a woman. Can he have similar exchanges with another man? It's like really too much. But Lord Chaitanya is having. That means there is no lust there. There is pure spiritual exchange going on. The mood, the flavor is same. So, he is trying to provoke Gadadhar Pandit. So, but Gadadhar Pandit doesn't become angry. So, 149th verse? No, 148th verse. Vallabhatta was accustomed to worshipping the Lord as child Krishna, Bal Gopal. But in the association of Gadadhar Pandit, he was converted and he dedicated his mind to worshipping Kishore Gopal. So, Vallabhatta wanted to be initiated by Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit said, no, it's not my job to initiate people. I can't act like a spiritual master. I have no independence. I am dependent on Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And Lord Chaitanya is now a little upset with me because I heard some commentaries that you have spoken. He is upset with me. So Gadadhar Pandit actually rejected. I will not become your spiritual master. So some days passed like that. So when finally Lord Chaitanya was pleased with Vallabhatta and accepted his invitation, and he went to Vallabhatta's place along with all the devotees to take prasadam from there. So he called Gadadhar Pandit. Okay, call Gadadhar Pandit also. Then Swarup Damodar Goswami went to call Gadadhar Pandit. On the way, Swarup Damodar Goswami told Gadadhar Pandit. He said, Tumi kene asitare nadila olahanam. Bhitapraya hayakane karila sahanam. So parikshite prabhu tomara kaila upekshana. My dear Gadadhar Pandit, Swarup Damodar Goswami is saying, Lord Chaitanya neglected you just to test you. So why don't you retaliate?
Why do you fearfully tolerate his criticism? Why do you do that? You should also just go and protest in front of Lord Chaitanya. What Gadadhar Pandit said, Prabhu Swatantra Sarvagna Shiromani Tara Sane Hatakari Bhala Nahimani. Lord Chaitanya is Swatantra Shiromani, he is the supreme independent personality. He is Sarvagna Shiromani. He is the best of all knowers, omniscient personalities. So hat, I can't do hat in front of him. I can't just go and argue with him as if I am an equal to him. Yehi kahe sehi sahi nija shire dhari. Whatever he says, I will tolerate and I will accept it on my head. Apane karibena kripa guna dosha vichari. So he will automatically become merciful by analyzing my faults and attributes. It's up to him. So after saying this, Gadadhar Pandit went to Mahaprabhu and fell down crying at the lotus feet of the Lord. So slightly smiling, Lord Chaitanya picked him up, embraced him and spoke to him. So he said, I wanted to agitate you, my dear Gadadhar Pandit. But you did not become agitated. Indeed, you could not say anything in anger. Instead, you tolerated everything. Krodhe kichuna kahila sakala sahila. You did not speak anything in anger, but you tolerated everything. Amara bhangite tomara nana manan na chalila. Sudrudha sarala bhave amare kinila. Your mind was not disturbed by my tricks. Rather, you stayed fixed in your simplicity. So you purchased me with your simplicity. He said, Sudrudha sarala bhave. You are rooted, you are fixed up in your simplicity. By that simplicity, you have actually purchased me. So, Kavraj Goswami says, Panditera bhava mudra kahana nayai Gadadhara prananatha nama hailayai Pandite prabhura prasada kahana nayai Gadaira gauranga bali yare lokagai. So the intimate relationship and love and affection between Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit, it's actually indescribable. It's very difficult to describe. So Lord Chaitanya gets these two names, Gadadhara Prananatha, Gadaira Gauranga. So Gauranga of Gadadhar Pandit. And the life and soul of Gadadhar Pandit. This is how Lord Chaitanya is named. He is also called Pratapradra Santrata because he showed mercy on Pratapradra Maharaj. He is called Vasudeva, Vasudevamrita Prada because he bestowed mercy upon Vasudev, leper. So like that, Lord Chaitanya gets names by his activities of showing affection towards certain devotees. So no one can understand the pastimes of the Lord. Chaitanya Prabhura Lila Ki Bhujete Pare Eka Lilaya Vahe Gangara Shata Shata Dhare. No one can understand the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. They are like Ganges. From one Leela, so many hundreds and thousands of branches will just come out. Panditera Saujanya Brahmanyata Guna Drudha Prema Mudra Loke Karila Skhyapana. So Gadadhar Pandit is celebrated all over the world for his gentle behavior. One is Saujanya, that is gentle behavior. Second is Brahmanyata Guna, Brahmanical qualities. Third is Drudha Prema Mudra, his deep love, steady love for Lord Chaitanya. So these three are unique attributes of Gadadhar Pandit's character. Abhimana pankaduha bhattera shodhilam seyidvara arasaba loke sikhaila. Abhimana panka, the mud of false pride. Earlier it was said, mountain of false pride. Garva parvata, abhimana panka, these are the words used. So Lord Chaitanya cleansed Vallabhatta from this false pride. And Seidvara Arasaba Loke Sikhayala. Through that, Lord Chaitanya is teaching all of us, this entire world. So antare anugraha, bahye upekshaaraprai. Bahyartha yailaya sei nashayai. Internally Lord Chaitanya is always merciful. Antare anugraha. Bahye upekshaaraprai. Externally he manifests neglect or chastisement or insult or correction, etc., etc. This is the common theme. You can consider 168th verse as a common theme for all the episodes of Lord Chaitanya where he is correcting his devotees. He is getting strict with devotees. Vallabhatta episode is also like that. Later, Gopinath Patnaik episode is also like that. Then Chota Haridas Thakur. Chota Haridas. Then who else? This Kala Krishna Das. Prataprudra Maharaj. So all these people. There Prataprudra Maharaj, there is nothing like correction there for a mistake. It's basically he is a king, so he wanted to maintain distance. So Prataprudra did not do any mistake and Lord Chaitanya did not correct him. Like that. Nigodha Chaitanya Bhujite Karashakti. Sei Bhuje Gaura Chandra Yara Dridha Bhakti. So who can understand the deep pastimes of Mahaprabhu? One who has firm, deep devotion to his lotus feet can understand these pastimes. Dina Dinantare Pandita Kaila Prabhura Nimantran. Prabhutaha Bhiksha Kaila Laya Nijagan. Another day Gadadhar Pandit invited Lord Chaitanya for Prasad. Then Lord Chaitanya came and took Prasad with all those associates. So the Lord neglected Gadadhar Pandit for few days just because he associated with Vallabh Bhatta. But actually he was not displeased with Gadadhar Pandit. Yes, he understood the intent. And Gadadhar Pandit also knows the Lord's mood very well. So there Vallabh Bhatta took permission from the Lord and his desire to be initiated by Gadadhar Pandit was thus fulfilled. This is the only information we have. So thus the meeting between Vallabh Bhatta and Lord Chaitanya was described. Sri Rupa Raghunatha Padiya Rasa Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahi Krishna Das. So we completed 7 chapters today. Tomorrow we'll take the 8th chapter. 8 and 9. 9. I'll try my best to complete both chapters. Thank you all very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Any questions or comments? This is also more or less like character class only because of the perspectives given in the pastime itself. Sharpening, fine-tuning our character. Anything? Any questions or comments? It seems like that. Haridas Thakur has his own hut. Mahaprabhu is in Gambhira. Different people are in different places. Sarvam Bhattacharya his house. Yes, that was arranged by Lord Chaitanya, Prataprudra Maharaj.